good God. The gospel is good. Today is a good day to give our good God praise. Every day is a good day to give Him praise. He's worthy. Amen?
Amen.
It's great to see you back in the house of the Lord this evening. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask the Lord to be with us tonight. Again, thank you for the opportunity I had this morning to share the gospel. And it truly was an honor to me. And I don't take it lightly, church. I do appreciate the opportunity. And please continue to pray for CJ. He'll be speaking for us tonight. It's great to have the children's home, Brother Brian, and the crew back tonight, keeping them safe and bringing them back here. I know you guys have got to be tired and a lot of miles on the road, and but we're thankful to have you home. And we're praying for a great night at the house of the Lord this evening. But let's ask the Lord to be with us. Brother Ceylon, would you take us, Lord, in a word of prayer? Amen. Church, if you'll stand, join the choir, and let's turn over to page number 393 and sing together, When We All Get to Heaven. All right, everyone sing now.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy.
That's great singing. Thank you. You can be seated. Choir, you can be seated as well. Have a couple of announcements. I want to make sure that I don't miss out on those. Miss Sharon, would you share those announcements with us?
Okay. All right. This Friday, 10 o'clock, those that want to go to Gibbs Garden, meet here at the church Friday at 10 o'clock. And we will have lunch out that way somewhere when we get there. And we should have a good, fun day together. Also, the day before, Thursday, I wanted to remind the ladies of the ladies' prayer brunch. I did not mention that this morning, but come and join us for a brunch that Mary Ann so graciously fixes for us. And we have a little short, very short devotion, and we have prayer time. So come and join us for the ladies' prayer brunch this Thursday at 11 o'clock.
All right, one other thing. Next Sunday morning is Mother's Day, which means we'll have regular service in the morning. We'll have Bible study at 10, service at 11, choir practice 9:30 as usual. And then there'll be no evening service next Sunday, so you can spend time with your family. So next Sunday morning is Mother's Day. We're looking forward to that. All right. Let's again ask the Lord to be with us tonight and pray for the offering, both gift and giver. And the Lord knows exactly what we need. Please remember the prayer requests that were mentioned this morning. Some that were not mentioned, the Lord knows all about them. And we just want to go to Him now in a word of prayer. Hardly ever do I get an opportunity to do this, but Brother David Barker, would you take us to the Lord tonight in a word of prayer? Amen. Man, that's awesome. I am so thankful for our musicians. And they spend a lot of time, a lot of work, a lot of things behind the scenes I'm sure that we know nothing about, making sure that they're ready. And I'm thankful for them. Miss Catherine has joined the choir with us. We'll have a little issue with the organ. So if you'll make that a matter of prayer as well, God knows exactly what we need, and we'll get that thing fixed and her back on the organ. But I'm so thankful for our musicians. God's truly, truly blessed us. Would you pray for us tonight as we try and sing that we can anchor to the power of the cross?
Aimlessly floating, spiritually withdrawn, life's winds and waves and rising tides have left you forlorn.
You say your ship can't stand another storm, and the final wave seems near. Just anchor deep to the solid rock. Let the captain handle your fears.
Anchor to the power of the cross.
Solid rock of ages, I'll hold my ground when changing winds blow again and toss me around.
I'll set myself and attach my soul to a source that will never fail. So stand firm and weather the storm, for the cross will prevail.
God Almighty.
Through his love, the Lord provided a place for us to rest, a place to find the answers in the hours of distress. Now there's never any you to give up in despair, to slip away and breathe his name. He will surely meet you there in the presence of God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish, hearts are mended in the
I trust that tonight you feel as if though you're in the presence of the King as well. I'm thankful for the moving of the Holy Spirit in this place today. I was thankful for the liberty that the Lord gave me this morning, and I'm praying that, CJ, you'll have that same liberty just to let the Lord use you tonight in a very powerful way. It is with great honor that I present to you tonight not only our friend, but my son-in-law, the preacher for this evening. Would you please make welcome C.J. Martin.
Yes, please. If you've got your Bible, join me in chapter 12 of the book of Luke. Said that backwards, you're welcome. I'm going to try to find it myself while you are. Luke 12. While you're looking for that, I'm going to read you a couple text messages that I've gotten in the last 10 minutes. Make this quick. I've got to go to the bathroom. I'm not going to say who they are. That's just inconsiderate. Make sure your phone's on silent. I'm going to call you. We'll stop there. But anyway, no, thank you. I'm so glad to be here tonight. I heard a preacher say one time it's an honor to be invited anywhere. It's wild when you're invited back to preach a second time. So I'm honored that you have me here tonight and that the pastor would trust us with his pulpit while he's out of town. And when I say this, don't misunderstand me. I don't want whoever goes in front of me to bomb. But do you all have to hit home runs before going before me? Brother Allen, that was amazing this morning. Not just because you chose to use me as part of your sermon. In fact, it was not flattering of me. If you didn't get to watch it this morning, don't. I am chosen by God, and I'm so thankful for that. So thankful for that. He has great things, despite my distinct efforts to just throw my life in the trash can. I have a God who loves me. I have a God who wants to do great things with me and who oversees my ignorance at times, who overlooks my poor, poor choices at times. I'm so thankful that we have a God who loves us and wants to do great things with us. And tonight we're going to look at chapter 12 of the book of Luke, and we'll be in verse 48. But as a way of introduction, if you will, we did a thing when I first started my Sunday school class called Bible or Babble. And that is where we took popular things that were designed or that were told to us our entire lives as scripture, right? Like the golden rule, and is there a hum or is there a helicopter fixing to hit us in the building? I just need to know if I should duck or not is all. Anyway, we did Bible or Babble, and there are so many things that we hear our whole lives and they are given credit to being scripture, but they're not. And that doesn't mean that they're not okay things, right? Like the golden rule and things of that nature. But they're just simply not in the scriptures. And for that reason, should be looked at differently. And sometimes it's getting louder. Either we are very... If that's the horn, David's going to take over the sermon. The horn, right? Yeah, like the second coming of the Lord. But I don't know if the Lord answers or hears David's prayers or not, but I do pray that God would answer yours tonight, that he would slide me out of the way and use me as conduit. But anyway, there are things, and we're going to look at one tonight, something I've heard and sort of misunderstood for all of my life. If I say to you, unto whom much is given, you would respond with, much is required, right? I've heard that my entire life. And my whole life, I've always thought that as my life has been shown a lot of kindness, right? And I've always thought that when I get older and I make lots of money, that means the Lord wants his share, right? And I've always thought that as, hey, the Lord's been good to you. It's time to pay back that a little bit. But if we look at it, that's actually not what it's saying. If we'll look at Luke chapter 12. We'll start in verse 47. It says, and that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. Well, that's certainly not going to feel good. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much of, him they will ask the more. That's not distracting at all, that minor hum. But anyway, if you're ADD like I am, there might as well be a helicopter hovering in the room, but I'm doing my best. But what he's saying here is, it's grace is the word that comes to mind, right? He's saying if you don't know better, right, but you do ignorant things, it doesn't say you won't be held accountable, right? It doesn't say we're going to act like it didn't happen. Anybody been pulled over out here on Pastor Snyder's favorite road, the East-West Connector, right, with that ridiculous speed limit of 45 mile an hour? I've been pulled over personally on that road before, and when you say to them, oh, I didn't know that's the speed limit, you know what they say? That, to Mike, they said, now you do. To me, they say ignorance doesn't declare you as innocent. Ignorance is not justification just to do whatever you want. It's your job to look at the sign. It was your job to know what to do. It was your job to figure this thing out. And now you're going to be receiving a fancy piece of paper, and you get to go hang out with my father-in-law over at the courthouse for a day. Thank you. And yeah, we won't clap. Anyway, thank you for fixing that, brother. But he says, just because you don't know doesn't mean you're not held accountable. But what God says in here is that you will be given grace for those things. But on the other hand, he says, the more you do know, right, the more you do know that you should be doing, the more you will be held accountable for. So to whom much is given, much is required, doesn't mean that if you've been given great blessings, you have to be a blessing to others. Is it a good idea to be? Absolutely, right? If God blesses me with a shovel, I'm not going to share with others with a spoon, right? Hopefully. And I tell you, in my life, truly, God has dump trucks of blessings in my life. And I would be so ignorant to try to bless others with a spoon out of that. It's all right, guys. I appreciate it. If it's something I'm doing, brother, let me know. I'll fix it. ADD is all I can say. I have no excuses other than that. But anyway, to whom much is given, much is required. And we've been given a lot, right? You and I, we could close the Bible right now. We could just go around the room and say, what is something in your life God says you're supposed to be doing that you're not, right? And I hope you'll ask yourself that question, because that's what we're going to talk about tonight for just a few minutes. I'm not as concerned about a person in a third world country who doesn't go to church every single Sunday because they don't know to, right? I'm not concerned as some inner city child who's breaking laws and doing crazy things just to try to get food. I stole from a grocery store that was attached to a fuel station because we didn't have breakfast at my house, right? I'm not as concerned about a child who's doing that. I'm far more concerned about CJ, who knows what to do and knows what not to do and chooses to ignore that anyway. I'm way more concerned about how much I'm loving or not loving my kids, how much time I'm giving them, how much effort I'm giving to things that Jesus Christ died for, and I'm giving those things my attention. I'm laughing at those things. I'm far more concerned about that than I am whether an alcoholic has a drink tonight or not, right? Because when you're lost in sin, we just don't know. So my question is, what do we know to do? Because we're told we're going to be held accountable for those things, and while there are 100,000 things we could look at, I just want to look at three. I told whoever my mystery texter was, I got you. I think I do. We'll find out. I want to look at them, but I'm not, because it would just give it away. They're in the room, though. If you want to look around and see who you think it might be, I don't have a problem with that. Join me in Matthew 28. Matthew 28. I wrote in my notes, that's the yellow tab in my Bible. Y'all checking each other's phones back there? Matthew 28. This is a pretty cool chapter in the life of God, in the life of Jesus. He has died, and he has been risen back to life 3 days later. Thank God he did that, or you and I would not be here tonight. We wouldn't be talking about any of this. But these are the last words recorded in the book of Matthew, and it's what you and I call the Great Commission. And it says, all power... By the way, it's interesting. If you look in verse 16, it says, the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, and it's sad. And it said, even Jesus couldn't keep 12. You know what I mean? We think that we're supposed to have all these friends, you and I as adults, and it's just not true. Even people who dedicated their entire lives to Jesus, when it got tough, he was left with less than whole of his friends. But verse 18 says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. When I was in Bible college for those 7 years, lots of people go to college for 7 years. They're usually called doctors, but lots of us went for 7 years. I'm kidding. It wasn't quite seven, depending on how you count it. ADD, right? What can I say? Anyway, when I was in Bible college, they said, how many commandments are there in the Great Commission? And we all reached and counted them, and they said, ultimately, there's one. Now, they said that there's certainly multiple, but they said there's one that you have to get right. Go. The first words, go. Get off your tail, inconvenience yourself, get outside of your circle, go outside of your church, because you and I, it's so easy to come in here on Sunday morning and to be spiritual and raise our hands and sing great songs and to enjoy a great sermon or a mediocre one on Sunday night, whichever one you're getting. It's easy to be a cool Christian here It's a lot harder when someone catches an attitude with you at Zaxby's on Tuesday night. Oh, sorry, was that just me? Anyway, it's a lot harder for me to be a great Christian at the ghetto fuel station when, you know, there's people fighting, and instead of witnessing to them, I'm yelling World Star and getting my phone out. Nothing, kids in the back, nothing, World Star, not a thing. I throw out World Star and I can't get anything out of you. Anyway, YouTube it, you'll understand. Unless you're over the age of 50, then just don't. But listen, the truth is, it's so much harder to be a Christian outside of our comfort circle. But if we don't care about others, then are we really doing the right thing? Right? I mean, let me ask you this. Do you care if your neighbor dies and goes to hell? I mean, I just wonder, do we really? Because I've got some neighbors who I like a lot, and they're great friends, and they're kind, and some of them are clients, and I get to hang out with them. But have I bothered witnessing to them? Now, this is for you, not me. I've got all the conviction I want. I'm asking you this question. Do you care about your neighbors? Do we really? Because if we don't, I feel like we might need to ask ourselves some other questions, some deeper and more challenging questions. But the first thing we have to do that we're going to be held accountable for is, did we witness to other people? Did we care about other people? Did we treat other people with respect, right? They always say treat the CEO with the same respect you treat the janitor. I've never been the CEO. I've just been the janitor all my life, and I can tell you that it's not always the same treatment you receive, right? There's a kid who I show up at his house, and he goes, oh, our lawn boy is here. I'm like, I'm not your lawn boy. I'm your lawn man. And your daddy pays me in cash. But anyway, by the way, it has nothing to do with anything in the world, except it's odd to me how many grown men there are at home paying me to cut their mama's grass. But anyway, their money's green, so I have nothing bad to say about it. But it's we're in a different world than it was, I guess, not all that long ago. But are we fulfilling the Great Commission? Do we care about the Great Commission? Do we care if our neighbor dies and goes to hell? Do we really? Because if we don't, then we can just stop right there and say, God, would you forgive me? Would you forgive me? As a church, right? So we're talking individually now, but let me ask you this. As a church, do we care about how many people eat at the McDonald's right over there that may or may not go to heaven? That may or may not ever hear the name of Jesus Christ? I mean, we have thousands of people right up and down this trail right here beside our church. Do we care enough to get up on a Saturday morning and go out there and say, hey, here's a track and some water? Do we care enough to inconvenience ourselves and say, you know what, I'm going to do something? Because if we don't, I think Snyder said it one time, let's knock the building over, put a gym up here, and serve the community a little better than we are. But I would say let's care. Let's care. Chuck, you encouraged me last year. You don't know this, but I go to Chuck's house probably more than he wants me to. But we were over there, and a new person had moved in, and he went and said, hey, my name's Chuck. This is CJ. He's my friend, and we go to church together. We go to church at Calvary Baptist right over here. And I thought, Chuck, don't do that when I look homeless, man. They're going to think we live at the church. But anyway, I'm so you encouraged me with that, and I do appreciate that. But do we care enough to inconvenience ourselves for our community? Because if our goal is just to hang out here as a church until Jesus comes back, we're missing the mark. Right? If our goal is not to bless, if someone's life isn't better because Calvary Baptist Church exists, then we have missed our mark, right? If somebody outside of this room is not blessed because we meet here on Sundays, then we shouldn't bother meeting on Sundays, right? I know that sounds harsh, but it's simply the truth. If somebody's life isn't made better, then let's do something else. Let's find something else to do. It's really inconvenient for me to be here. I'll be honest with you. Every Sunday for me is a 12 to 13 hour day away from my house. If you don't believe me, ask my dog who has his legs crossed every Sunday evening when we get in from church, right? Hopefully they're still crossed and he hasn't let go. That's happened as well. But anyway, there's also a bunny there, but he has his own little kennel. He's good. Anyway, we'll talk about my fat rabbit later. But anyway, let's do something that matters. Let's inconvenience ourselves. Let's bless this community. Let's let Powder Springs be better because Calvary Baptist Church is here. Let's do that, A, by doing the Great Commission. Number B, if you want to join me in James 1:27. My notes tell me that's my black tab. Hey, and it is. Now you're going to first say, we got to pass on this one, and you'll understand why. But James chapter 1 verse 27 says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. Now you're going, hey CJ, don't fancy it up. That's orphans. And we got the Calvary Children's Home here. Check. Right? Widows and orphans. If I were to ask tonight, if you're a widow, stand up. Don't. But if I were to say that, and then I were to say, stay standing, if not one church member called this week just to say, how you doing? How many would still be standing? If I were to ask you, how many widows did you call to encourage this week? How many of you would want to answer that out loud? Right? How many of you, if I were to say, did you find a kid outside of Calvary Children's Home in your community who needs somebody like you to mentor them, to help them, to encourage them? Because what we all want to do, we all want to whine about kids. Right? They're in my neighborhood. They ride up and down my street on a dirt bike, and they don't care if it's 2 p.m., or 2 a.m., I don't know whose gas they're stealing, but they have an unlimited supply of gas money, as far as I can tell, because they ride constantly on their back tire. And you know what I want to do? Well, I can't answer that. And David, I think God just answered your prayer. He took my words out of my mouth. Probably also blessed me from some legal issues as well, but that's another story for another time. No, you know what? I want to cut grass and blow all the dadgum grass blades out in the grass so they slip and they wreck. It's true. Sorry. It's not God's answer. It's CJ's answer. That's why we don't do it. But that's what I want to do. I want to throw rocks at them. I want to cut their tires. I want to kick them. But you know what God says? To me, to CJ, they're an inconvenience. You know who they are to God? Just as important as CJ. Just as important as Uncle Brian. Just as important as Chuck. Just as important as any of us sitting in this room. You know why? Because God died for their soul just like he did mine. So what kind of jerk am I if I just complain about them and I never bother going out there and going, hey, man, you're really good at fixing motors. I see you keep this thing running all the time. I've got a friend with a mechanic shop who might could use your skills. Right? If I don't bother to give them any directions, I just complain. I just whine. Am I a part of the solution? I'm part of the problem. And is that Christianity? Is Christianity's goal for us individual and us as a church to go out and make problems worse? I don't think so. Doesn't sound like serving widows and orphans to me, right? I know boys that live on my street whose father died on Christmas Day about 4 or 5 years ago. Do I go out of my way to encourage them? Right? Do I go knock on their door and say, hey, our family's going to church Sunday. We've got an extra seat in the minivan. Why don't you come with us? Have I done that? I'm not answering because, you know, I don't want to look too spiritual or be called out, either one. You guess. Sometimes you just, you know, it's better to take the L, I guess. But anyway, there are opportunities around us. There are people we can serve. There are people we can help. And if we're not going to, then why bother? Right? We're letting God down. We're letting ourselves down. And again, let's remember what we started with. To whom much is given, right? God's pointing this. Whoever it is you're thinking about right now, maybe they're on your street. Maybe you work with them. Maybe it's a grandkid. Maybe it's a, you know, maybe it's a nuisance in your life that God's calling you to be an encouragement to. The Bible says, to whom much is given, right? You're being told to. And if we choose not to, that's on us. Thank God for grace, right? Thank God for grace. But it says we will be held accountable for that. I've heard my entire life a need seen is an assignment given. Uncle B in the back, he's the only one awake, or he's the only one who was here that day that they said that, and I remembered. Hard to say. But anyway, the number two is to take care of the widows and orphans. I love Matthew chapter 25 and verse 40, where Uncle Brian, you know, believe it or not, I actually listen sometimes when you preach, or at least I did one time. But I remember the children's home goes to the same typical churches every, or at least we used to. I don't know what they do now. Most Christmas seasons. And so Uncle Brian would make one really good sermon and preach it to all the, no, I'm just kidding, that's not true. But God would give him a thought, and God would allow him to share that. And so I remember one of the first years you did, I'm sure you probably remember this as well, the verse was Matthew 25, 40, when you did it for the least of these, right? He says, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was naked, you gave me clothes. And it says that it's a parable that God gives them, that Jesus gives there. And he says that people will say, you weren't naked. You weren't hungry. When did we do this? He said, when you did it unto the least of these, you did it unto me. There are some least of these riding their motorcycles up and down my road. And maybe I would do well to pray for them and say, God, would you put a hedge of protection around that young man? He's got a future family out there who needs him, and he just doesn't know how reckless he's being today. Would you help him? Maybe God would send us to be an encouragement to somebody. Maybe God would send us to pray for somebody. Maybe God would give us some mission in life. Because if we don't have one, then what are we doing? Right? The world's not that great. I mean, there are parts of the world that are great, right? Talladega. That's all I got. But I know there are parts of the world that are great, but it's just not that much fun without some kind of mission. And so the question is, what do we have to offer those people that God would call us to serve? And I would say to you, you know, widows and orphans, we have widows in this church. And I would imagine there's a phone in nearly every cell phone in nearly every pocket in here. It doesn't take a whole lot to text and say, hey, thinking of you. I'm thinking of you. Imagine being shut in and nobody comes and visits you for months. Right? And there are people like that, by the way, right here in our community. Right down here at Bethany Gardens, right over here at the place, I can't even think of what it's called. It used to be Busby something or another. I don't know what it is now. But there are people in our community who need to be served, who need to be loved, who need just a text message that says somebody knows you exist and appreciates you. You know what I do with my landscape company when I go cut grass? I send them it's actually just billing them is all it is, but I send a picture of their yard that's done and says, I appreciate you. Period. Boom. Send. You know how hard it is to call someone out for doing a bad job when they say, I appreciate you? Yeah, you get away with murder. No, I'm just kidding. But the truth is, that matters people. People that catches people off guard and they go, wow, you appreciate me. You know what that is? It's not because I'm some great businessman. It's not because I'm something special. It's because God has put a sense of appreciation in me and helps me to see that without them, my bills don't get paid. So I do appreciate them. I do appreciate it, and that's not anything inside of me. That comes from the Lord. The Lord blessed me with that. And I'm not anything special, but I am thankful for that. So let's serve the widows. Let's serve the orphans. What do you have to offer? And let me ask you this. What are you holding back? Because there's something you go, I want to do that, but I just don't have time. That's what it usually is. I want to help them, but I don't have money. I want to help them, but it would be inconvenient. It would be, but I can tell you it will matter to them. It will matter to them a whole lot. And then our last thing is the second part of that same verse. It says to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. I don't like that one. I would just assume white that part out. Because that's really hard for me, right? I heard, who was it? Anyway, probably the Lord protecting me there again. But I heard a preacher, someone was invited to speak at a church, and he told them, he said, look, you'll have to give me about 10 minutes. He said, because I can be funny and clean for about 10 minutes. He said, then we get out of control. Right, I can't remember who. Anyway, it was not some terrible person. They said, I can give you about 10 minutes of clean, funny, wholesome entertainment. Outside of that, it's going to be really hard for me. And you know why that is true? You know why it's true that the more you get to know somebody, the more nasty they see, you discover they are? Because we let our guard down. And the truth is, you and I are naturally so nasty. Right? If you don't believe it, go a week without bathing. We nasty. We need baths, right? I've got two teenage boys who I wouldn't embarrass if one of them would bring me $20. No, I'm just kidding. Nah, I can tell you right now, them boys need baths. Their sisters, I've raised teenage girls at the children's home. We all nasty, right? We all gross. If you don't believe that you are naturally just a filthy human being, like I said, just go a week with no soap, no deodorant, I mean no hairbrush, no toothbrush, you won't be able to put one of the masks on to save your life because it'll suffocate you to death, your own breath, right? We are nasty, nasty people, and we got to be cleaned. How do we get clean? Well, I think coming to church is a good start, right? I think keeping some things out of our lives that don't belong there is a pretty good place to start. I've heard my whole life, you lay down with pigs, you get fleas, or you lay with dogs, you get fleas, right? I've never laid with dogs, so I can't personally attest to it, but it seems pretty likely if you lay with some dogs, you're going to come out with some fleas. And so if you want to go home and test that one, feel free to report back to us next week and let us know how that goes, but I'll take your word for it. If we're going to remain unspotted, then we're going to have to make some choices. You and I have been chosen, right? We have selected God as the king of our life, right? You and I have chosen to be Christians, but now, if we're going to be effective Christians, we're going to have to make some more choices. We're going to have to cut some things out of our lives that might be fun, right? We're going to have to cut some people out of our life that also might be fun, right? I've got some friends I know right now, if I were to call them and say, hey, I need a night out in the town, we would go, we'd have a great time. And then tomorrow morning, I would have to come in and empty my house out and find a whole new place to leave. My kids would hate me. It'd be a real problem. Uncle Brian would probably kick me in the mouth 3 times. It would just be really drastically inconvenient. And so you know what I've decided to do? I don't talk to those friends anymore. Now, if they come to, you know, and ask spiritual questions, I'm there for them, but I know that unless they have a radical change in their life, I'm not going to go hang out with them. It would be fun, right? We as Christians, we pretend that sin isn't fun, but it simply is, right? The Bible even says sin is fun for a... Thank you. Either I'm the most boring preacher in the world and you're all half asleep, or I'm the worst preacher in the world and you're all half asleep. I don't have another explanation. The truth is, it is, oh man, it's just, we just have to do better. We just have to do better. And then the last thing about keeping clean is, I don't know about you, but in my relationship with Amanda, I've discovered things are either getting better or they're getting worse. There are very few times in a relationship where things are just stagnant, right? Where things just plateau, where things just stay the same. There are seasons where you think, okay, we didn't kill each other today. That's a success, right? All 4 kids are still breathing. That's a success. We didn't forget any of them at the school. By the way, any of you with multiple kids ever gone to the wrong school to pick up a child? I recently went to a middle school to pick up an elementary school child, and they give you the most judgmental look I've ever seen in my life. Like, you don't know where your children are? I'm like, yes. Amanda, what school should I be at right now? They ask, what grade is she in? She goes here. I mean, don't you have a computer? Her name is Gracie. Gracie. Gracie Martin. Same as mine. Anyway, it was a lot funnier, I guess, in my mind than it was in real life. But it happens. I wish that wasn't a real story. I really, the name of the child was changed, but as a straight-up true story, I've gone to the wrong school to pick up. And every time I go there, they're like, okay, I'm here for Carter Martin. What grade is he in? Like this, 6, 7? Do you need me to call his mother again? Right. But I will tell you one on them too. This week I had to take Gracie's lunchbox to school, and you know what they said when I got in the office with her lunchbox? Oh, we know that lunchbox. That's the traveling lunchbox. It travels to the bus and it stays there. Sometimes her parents bring it in. A lot of times it's left in her classroom. We found it in the trash can twice. And when they bring that one to the office now, we know that that's Gracie's lunchbox. I'm like, well, you know, at least we're known. We'll take the wins where we can get them, I suppose. But are we growing, right? If we're going to grow, we're going to have to be intentional about it. And I don't mean the church growing in numbers, although that would certainly be a good sign that things are going well, right? But if you and I are going to grow personally, then it's going to be that being unspotted part of that verse, right? It's great to serve others. It's so important. But it's so much more important to get alone with God and say, Lord, what would you have me cut out of my life? You know, because it's, we know what to do to add to our lives. It's simple, right? Dig in Scripture. We can, there's sermons online, and you can listen to me or Stephen Furtick, and I'm sure that's a tough choice, you know, or Andy Stanley, or any other number of hundreds of preachers online at any given time. YouTube's a great thing, right? There are all kinds of ways to find somebody who will help you to challenge yourself, but you know what's harder? Is to turn off the stupid TikTok long enough to do it. Right? It's a lot harder. Even some of the older 50 crowd was like, oh, he's talking about TikTok. I've got a friend who, he lives in my neighborhood. He recently told me, he said, I had to get off that Facebook. That's nothing but junk. He said, I like that TikTok now. I was like, dude, I'll see you in the altar in a month. No. But anyway, he's still not back on Facebook, so I guess he's liking TikTok. I don't know. But anyway, you and I are going to have to be intentional. We're going to have to choose to grow, because it's not natural, right? You look around us, it's pretty easy to tell what happens naturally to the human body, right? Parts of us get wider. I'm not looking anybody in the eye right now, because I will get murdered in the face, right? It's easy to let ourselves go, right? It's really hard to choose to get up and go to the gym. I used to go by one all the time. It was in the parking lot of my office, and I would drive right by it into my office and never went in. Well, one time I did to see about their insurance, but that didn't go well. But listen, the truth is, for you and I to let ourselves go spiritually is natural. For you and I to reach an age where we say, you know what, I'm retired now. Let's let these young bucks do it, right? I've chased God. I've chased kids. I've chased all these things, and now I'm going to sit back. Can I tell you that you've got a lot of tread left on your tires? You've got a lot of time left on here until God says, you're done, you're done. My grandfather-in-law was not a perfect man, but you know what I respect about him so much? When he died, he was laying in the room at the, what do they call him? He was at the funeral home, two rooms down from a lady who was, it was planned for him to do her funeral. And they had to call her family and say, I'm sorry, Brother Ken can't do it. Oh, why? He's dead. It's going to be really hard for him to pull that off, right? He talked about serving God until the end. And you're not dead, right? Anybody in the room dead by show of hands? No, that's good. Then I saw someone almost raise their hand over here. I'm not going to point out who it was, but that was very funny to me. But the truth is, you're not dead, so God has something for you. You say, CJ, I don't know what I have to offer. Pray for somebody. Encourage somebody. Text somebody. If you're over 70, they're going to be stunned to hear from you textually. They won't even know what to do with themselves. It's going to be a great time. Reach out to them on Facebook. Reach out and say, hey, man, I appreciate you. Encourage your pastor. Hey, listen, here's a crazy one. They've got these books around here with everybody's address in it. You can still get letters and like paper and envelopes, and you can actually get stamps still. And you can mail them something. Say, hey, I just want you to know somebody appreciates you. Signed, anonymous. You're going to mess up their whole week because they're going to be going, who is anonymous? I know. I leave love notes from anonymous people in random trucks all the time, and it's the highlight of my month when I get to do that. I've been putting them in one guy's truck for about 3 months now, and it's just awesome. Absolutely. My record is 6 months, and it was a whole thing. But anyway, you can write somebody a letter and mail it to them and just say, I just want you to know you matter and I appreciate you. Right, guys in the back? Send one to one of your teachers. You want to blow their mind? Send an anonymous letter to your teacher that says, hey, listen, I'm in your class and I don't want you to know who I am, but I want you to know that you're making a difference in my life and I appreciate you. My address is 6173. No, I'm just kidding. But listen, you can do things for God that matter. They might seem huge. They might seem tiny, but let's just do something. Let's serve God. I'm not here to hang out anymore. I'm not here to hang out. It's too inconvenient for me just to hang out over here on 12 hours every Sunday. Let's either chase God and do something, or let's go to the house. And you may not let me preach again here, and that's probably for your best. But if we're going to be here, let's serve God. Let's not have a decent church. Let's have a great church. Let's not have an okay spiritual life. Let's have a spiritual life that people look at and go, man, I don't know what's with her. But boy, she serves God with a different intensity than I've ever seen in her life. I see him choosing different things. I see her prioritizing other things. I see them making choices that they wouldn't have made 5 years ago. I don't know what happened to them, but boy, there's something different. There's something different. And my prayer is that that'll become something inside of you, that will become something inside of this church, will become something inside of your family, will become something inside of Powder Springs, and that in 5 years or 5 months or even 5 weeks, people will begin to say, there's something going on at Calvary. There's something special going on at Calvary. Or we can just keep doing what we're doing. Right? We can come in, we can sing songs and go, brother, that was a blessing. It looked lethal. But if we're going to do something, let's do something great. Let's inconvenience ourselves for the cause of Christ. Whether we're 9, whether we're 90, let's chase God. Let's do something that matters. And my prayer tonight is that, as we talked about earlier, there's so much grace, and I've exercised more of it than I'm worthy to have used. But to whom much is given, much is required. We know what to do. You and I know what to do. I'm not going to pretend like I can understand or explain everything in this book, but you know what? We know to do a few things. We know to let our neighbors walk over us to go to hell. Right? Our neighbors may not accept Christ, but they're going to know that if they ever want to, they can knock on our door. Right? We may not be able to change the world. That jerk's probably still going to do a wheelie on his motorcycle and rev that thing to 2 billion RPMs every time he passes my house. But you know what? He should know. That joker's different. That house right there is different. My prayer is that you and I would witness to others, that we would care about others, and that we would show people that they matter. And let's find a widow. You know what I dare you to do? I dare you to say tonight, God, would you put somebody in my life I can be a blessing to? God, would you show me who I'm missing in my life? Would you show me who I should be serving that I'm not? And then would you follow through on that? If you will pray that and you'll just lay there and be quiet, he'll show you somebody. He's going to show you somebody. And let's be a blessing to that person and ask God, what can I do? And you know what? It's probably going to be inconvenient. It's probably going to be like, I can't do that. Well, I guess God was wrong then to ask you to do it. Right? We can do these things. We can do something special. We can serve somebody. And my prayer is that God would bring somebody to your night. If you want to stand and sing, this is where I normally turn it back over to somebody more competent than myself. But we'll sing that song. Do you have the courage to come down and ask God for a name?
Today, try me, oh Savior, and know my thoughts, I pray.
God, we love you. God, we thank you for the opportunity to serve you tonight. We thank you for bringing us here safely. Lord, for some, it's been a very long day, Lord, with riding on the vans and everything else. God, would you give us a supernatural rest tonight? Lord, I thank you for those who have come to the altar. Lord, I thank you for challenging my heart tonight, God. Lord, would you help us as a church to be different for having been here tonight? Would you help us as a church to inconvenience ourselves for the one who died for us? Lord, all of us would say, I don't want to go to hell. Lord, would you help all of us to have the attitude that says, and I will serve you, Lord, until we get to heaven. Lord, we want to do something great. We don't just want to exist. We don't just want to hang out and then go back to the house. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for our church. We thank you for our community. We thank you for the life you've given us. Lord, would you be with us? In your name I pray. Amen.